blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sharanam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Sharanam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham, Sharanam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Kamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All creations are transient. Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without a self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridayaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. For it is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the content of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates illusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a passionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble position, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi patyampi sabha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Anyone who wants to get a backtrack, please, you're welcome. Just a reminder, we record the Sunday morning call and distribute them to our monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning? June.
I was listening to some recordings this morning. One of the recordings was the first assignment in the Learning to Live in This Year Now in a class.
The first assignment of Learning to Live in This Year Now.
Yeah. And it's great, and the image, the thing that just really spoke to me this morning was the image of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate being rock-like. I think the phrase was, we practice letting go the rock-like heaviness of conditioning.
We practice letting go the rock-like heaviness of conditioning.
Yes. And it's just really, that rock was right there. feeling it, feeling the heaviness of it, and being aware of the semi constant nature of it in this life. It was really, I put it up on my giant chalkboard in my living room. And I've talked about this so much. It seems that the beginnings of the days, the rock is not so heavy.
Let me just make sure I catch up with you, Richard. So the recording is about the first assignment, which is the rock-like heaviness of conditioning, and there's an awareness that that rock is persistent in this human existence.
Yes.
And it's not so rock-like at the beginning of the day.
It seems. And it gets heavier as the day goes on. And by about 5 or 6 in the afternoon, it falls on my head. I'm just grateful to see it. I watched it happen in meditation over and over and over. The mind wonders. there's the whatever that grace to come back to the present, come back to the breath, and realization that just before coming back, the experience was a rock like heaviness.
Uh-huh.
Kind of regardless of what, of where attention went. It wasn't different content related. It's just being lost in conditioned mind is heavy and thick, and I don't see it until I get that little tap on the shoulder.
So if I'm with you, what you're watching is actually, so previously there's just the awareness of the fact that conditioning is rock-like, but as you're paying more closer attention, what it sounds like is you're actually looking at the process of how the rock gets constructed, right? Because there's the watching it, it's we're here, the energy is light and bright and attention is present, and then the mind starts to wander, or attention starts to wander, and the more it wanders, the more it wanders into conditioned mind,
yeah,
which produces that sensation of heaviness. And if you wander off, there's no knowing that you've wandered off, but when there's grace to come back, there's the awareness of the heaviness and the grace to come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the awareness of the structure is helpful.
Yes.
Because it allows us to interrupt the process.
Yes. Sometimes.
Right.
Right. And that's where willingness comes in,
mm-hmm,
and love comes in.
Yes, willingness and love.
And yes.
Yeah. Well, because there's so, I think what you're saying, June, is there's so much that's not where you want to live.
That's
where you want to live is in enlightenment.
Yes.
And so the ability to come back to the breath, to have that grace appear more often, means that there's all that willingness for the pursuit of that. And the way in which we approach it is with love, not punishment or self-hate.
Okay, that's helpful. I was thinking, you know, there's a painting, a famous painting. I think it's by Magritte, but I'm not remembering very well.
That's
but
okay. There aren't any art historians.
I think it's a picture of him. I think he's the guy who painted the very dapper-looking fellow in the polar hat with the Granny Smith apple in front of him. And I think it looks kind of like that. Only there's a giant boulder hanging in midair, whatever it's named. And I'm picturing that boulder being there, building, like coalescing as the day goes. And it gets heavy enough and it lands on me.
Which is a good moment.
Well,
it's yours.
With those two things, having the metaphor of conditioning being a really heavy and rock like, and actually experiencing it, and having that image in my head, the two things are giving me a clearer picture
of the process.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say something very radical, which is very orthogonal to what you're experiencing, which is not what we do in facilitation. We're not going to do it anyway.
That's that word that needs to have right angle to.
Like not in yet.
Okay.
Something adjacent to, right? Because to me, it's really, really good in practice to start to see how the conditioned process builds. Because it brings awareness to, okay, the attention of the energy of heaviness is conditioning. There is a structure that happens, a process that happens that then presence, and then the attention wanders, and the attention wanders, and the energy gets sucked out as a consequence of which it's feeling heavy. Now, if you watch that process a bunch of times, and we know that willingness, there's a willingness to change it, and there's a love to be brought to it, so it's not that way, then is there is the training the exact opposite of watching a process of hardness? Instead, to watch the process of lightness. So to change the portrait from being something that's heavy to all of the lightness that's available, so that instead of feeding the heaviness, we redirect the attention to the experience we want, which is the lightness.
Yes, yeah. Now, yes. And karma, mm-hmm. the very loud voices in the head have no interest in lightness.
Exactly.
Unless it's a tool it can use for inspiration.
That's right.
And it experiences itself in the heaviness.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly so. It experiences itself in the heaviness, and its maintenance strategy is to continue to focus the attention on the process of how heaviness is caused. So we end up believing that the rock is real. Yes, we experience the energy of the rock, but in any instance that we turn the attention to presence, we can feel lightness. That is our experience also. Because willingness and love are available in that moment of grace. And so the training could be, how is every time there is the attention wanders to conditioning, how is this possible to reignite the energy of presence? And to carry the jewel as the focus of attention, mm-hmm. not the crust of the rock that surrounds it.
Well, another part of that first lesson and a response that Sherry gave to someone, she said that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, karma, lives in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that if we move, mm-hmm. we deny it a place to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that seems awfully simple.
Yes, it does. Well, but if you think about your analogy, it's so obvious that a rock is immovable.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you think about water, it's movement. And so if the energy of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is heavy, then the energy of movement is moving the energy. Mm-hmm. And so it's a perfect antidote.
Yeah. You just used a phrase that we use a lot here, that conditioning hates, which is move the energy. Mm-hmm. Oh, it hates that.
Well, move the body. Whatever it is that the body would like, or life would like, or the movement is an ability to redirect attention, expand the awareness. It can be the smallest movement to look up at the sky where the energy expands, or the awareness expands. But the resistance to the antidote is how it makes it heavy. Because now it's effort.
The resistance to the antidote makes it heavy because it's effort, yeah.
Yeah, it's always effort.
Yeah.
That's the heaviness of the rock, right? I've got to bring all this effort to move past what I'm feeling.
Yeah, yes.
But that's only if you believe it exists. As soon as you drop it and turn the attention to something, and the willingness and the love get directed to doing the part that assists us to move beyond it, to train to experience lightness in the moment of grace, and stay with lightness in the moment of grace.
Let me see if I just heard what you said. So, the rock isn't real. the resistance is what makes it in my head.
Well, yeah.
The habit, the addiction is what makes it so heavy.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing to do about the rock. I don't have to look. I don't have to do anything about the rock. I mean, just turn the attention.
Yeah.
Turn the attention. Move the energy. Find when that boulder has landed on my head. Just notice that and turn the attention. There's nothing to do about that.
That's right.
Just make a choice for lightness.
Yes. Train for the lightness, not for overcoming the heaviness.
Train for the lightness, not for overcoming the heaviness.
And the thing is that you can train for that, not just when the rock lands, but at any time, right? You can recover and go, I'm going to turn my attention to how I feel light. I'm just going to do a little jig, get my energy back to lightness. So then we interrupt the fact that the rock lands at the end of the day. We may have many rock landings throughout the day,
yeah,
or moments of grace, or however we want that. But we can train to, see, I think what we get conditioned to do is, in practice at some point, is to see ego so often that the practice becomes to overcome the ego, not let it go.
I'm so glad this is being recorded. So as you were talking, I saw a rock landed on me. I felt the heaviness. And here's what it said. It said, evenings are long. You gonna dance all evening? You gotta do it. You know, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You can't every moment turn to lightness. You know, I'm right there in the picture. So that felt very heavy.
Yes, and you go, okay, well, I can't do it in the hall right now, June, but you could do the equivalent, which is, mm-hmm, I'll show you, I can dance all night. Right? Because the heaviness is created by the illusion of a huge amount of time. But if you're living in the now, this is the only moment that counts. So I'm heavy in this moment, I'm light in this moment, I'm just light in this moment. It's only when we believe what it tells us that now you're going to come up with a plan of lightness that lasts for the long evening. That's like, yeah, I'm giving up right just right now. But that's what it's counting on.
Yes, exactly.
But if we train in, okay, I can dance for 5 minutes, and you don't know till you find out, after dancing for 5 minutes, whether the heaviness is at the same level even. But that's the curiosity part, right? Okay, I don't dance. I sit down and I do a jig and then I sit back down again. Or I wander over and pick up my cap and then put the cap down. It's all movement. But it's all just switching the attention.
Okay, one more thing I just heard in my head. It's all counteracting the heaviness, but that's not what we're doing. We're not focusing on the rock, the heaviness of the rock. We're not trying to get rid of the heaviness of the rock.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's a good first step.
Huge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, wow. All right. Let's go down this way. Tracy.
I had an interesting experience with the homework.
Yes.
And what I notice is I know everything about this process, and there's nothing that I want to focus on about it anymore.
Yes.
And I really, really want to just, I mean, the most difficult relationship is with the ego-centered karmic conditioning.
Oh, my God.
And I just, you know, the email class, you know, the direct things I get back were, yes, you need to do something, you need to be present. okay, you saw that big bamboozle, you know, there's nothing in it, what are you choosing now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where I really got in the email class was, I'm just no attention on it anymore. And the calendaring workshop words have just been this amazing operating instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Mine were open, willing, mm-hmm. which are all one word, lightness and relaxed. And so redirecting attention there. So even with email class, I'm like, okay, how can I do this relaxed? And what came were just recordings about what it's going to be like being in that energy. The musings are so helpful. That place of what is when I isn't,
yes.
What is equanimity? Where do I feel it? You know, how does that look? What does that recontextualizing look? And so it was interesting to watch my shift in energy in doing the assignment from like, oh my God, I feel like, ugh, like, no, I don't think this, I just know it so well, to, wow, I mean, amazing that in choosing this other place, I can really feel it, and I can practice feeling equanimity. I can practice feeling friendliness. I can practice feeling. And that was a real shift. You know, then there's excitement, and then there's joy, and then there's, I want to listen, be outside. And so that was really fun. So I swear, between the musings and the email class from January till now, just that clarity of, and I fall into the karma of I need to do something and I'm like swirling a wool. And so my practice has been the mini trampoline for 3 minutes every 30 minutes just to move that energy and then, you know, getting rid of the I don't know energy and just being like, hey, what's next? So just that place of, I know I've said an awful lot, but it's so simple.
Yes.
I think what I really got out of this workshop was I don't want to be in relationship to that. I mean, I don't even need to process it. This is where I want to live, and this is what I need to. This is where I want to live.
Yes. I would love to reflect what you said because everything you said is so critically important on a process level. So when we begin practice, it's really important to get familiar with karma because we don't know till we really know by observing and watching what's going on for us that we're being programmed, we're being controlled, that we're reacting to. So it's helpful to know, well, when that awful hump sensation is really, I'm hearing a story about XYZ. And processing at that point assists us to fill out the process map of how karma operates.
Yes, and the key, one thing I found the key to that I really felt during this thing, because then there's a plan that gets to be made, and for so long I thought that plan was helpful.
Yes.
And realizing that, oh my God, it's part of the same system.
Yes. Yes. Yes, but you have to do that to realize it was part of the same system, because the structure of the practice arc that we all go through is the same. You first get to know the karma. Then you get to see how the karma operates, and as you do that, you're creating the distance from it, right? And at some point, you get to the place where you get to, which is one more process map isn't going to give you any more information about egocentric karmic conditioning subject and what it's doing to you, at which point, the only thing you do is to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, practice becomes not watching the process of identification, but cultivating the practices that assist me to be here.
Yes, yes.
Right?
And that was
how do I live in awareness?
Yes, and they've been so key. There's such a key part of, and it's not just dropping it, it's what am I choosing?
That's right.
That without what I'm choosing, then it can so easily slip back in.
Yes, because it's what's in the resistance, transcending resistance book, right? First in the garden, you have to learn how to lead. Because you need to know the difference between the weeds and the flowers. Once you know that, you don't obsess on the weeding. Because if you do, you actually don't know how to appreciate the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Then for some time, you spend looking at appreciating the flowers because it's a skill that because you've only known how to look at the weeds. Mm-hmm. And what we miss is we have to learn how to stop looking at conditioning and choosing now, because it's a skill we train and practice in. Mm-hmm. Now we know how to look at the flowers. We get the place of awareness from which we can see weeds and flowers. Mm-hmm. It's not just appreciation and it's not just watching conditioning, mm-hmm. but being the awareness that can enjoy all aspects of the garden.
Yes, and that's where the equanimity and the compassion and
So we choose our experience and then embody it, because all of the guidance we get is what is it like to be present. Being mm-hmm. present is not equal to having a particular experience. Being present is equal to being the awareness that can hold all experiences.
Yes. Yeah.
With all experiences, which is also something we have to practice.
Yeah, it's huge, and that was really helpful with the looking at the keys, the non-virtuous and equanimity and the compassion with unhappy and when the guy just said, yes, you need to do something, you need to be present. Like, I think that is just
It's true. It's funny because it's in the next Musings article. What we get from all of our observations around egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is the two things we have to do is to drop the conversation and be present. In other words, conditioning causes us to make the object, the content, what we have to work on, instead of giving it up.
Yes, yes. And then the planning thing,
It's at the content level being within the system instead of the process choice of not this system, here.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I think that last thing you said, which is worth absolutely repeating, is there is nothing to do. We are, we just are, we just be, right? The being, if I drop the conversation, I think we're talking about this with Monica, joy, compassion, love is what we are.
Yes.
And we want to say, okay, well then what do I do?
Yes.
Well, you don't do anything.
Yes.
You are joy, love, compassion.
Yes.
And that's the how that is brought to relationship.
Yes. Oh, it's so simple and it's so big. And that's like the one line out of the Musings in January, just that, what is when I isn't, is just, what is. It's just what is. And it's, again, it's just so beautiful.
It's not what, but how.
It's not what, but how. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really cool. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
So fun.
Scott.
Boy, this is a lot of fun. And those two experiences are really helpful. And, we're on the end of a practice weekend. So just thinking for folks who are listening to this recording, I mean, it's so awesome. Just consider coming up. And and then the second thing was just, I think, a kind of a practice success. And so I've been looking at, that goes along with the assignment last night as well. I've been looking at kind of this belief that there are some things that are more important to pay attention to than others.
Uh-huh.
And watching a bamboozle around relaxation,
which
means not stewarding the attention and basically allowing the attention to go to unconsciousness. And so I made a recording about that bamboozle, and I've been listening to that. And then yesterday, because I know that one of the times is the weekend, and especially Saturday. And so the morning recording I left for the person waking up was, hey, but keep an eye out for this. And what we're doing is we're wholehearted participating with the structure and the guidance from the day. And so, it's after 7 and we're given an assignment. And the last 2 months that we've had these, there's been resistance to that. It's like, no, Saturday nights are this. What I do on Saturday night, I don't want to. And then, but what arose was we're wholehearted. Like, last night there was the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hi, resistance. Welcome, Mara. I knew you were coming. And then the next moment was, we're wholeheartedly participating with this. We have the questions in front of us. And that's training in lightness right there. You know, and then the other part about that that you said around, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we make that plan, oh, we're going to hardly participate, but then it says, we don't know what's going to happen, and we never do. And so I went to go work on this assignment about relationships, and first of all, it was a relationship that I would never have thought of. Pick a relationship that's challenging. It wasn't one that I would have thought on the surface was challenging.
Uh-huh.
Because it was labeled as fine.
Uh-huh.
Although every time that I call this person, there's an ugh, I don't want to before I call them. Yeah. So that was revealed, and then it was revealed basically a bunch of self-hate that was going on. And then as was being spoken of, I was able to make a recording about what we want to focus on instead. And I used friendliness and equanimity, and I used specific behaviors. One of them was, but the friendliness was smiling while I'm talking.
Uh-huh.
Like, on the phone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so many things that I would love to reflect, Scott. The first being that the such willingness and such an intention on, okay, there's some guidance that's been given to you that you see around something, and it's shorting the attention. Mm-hmm. And so there's the willingness of the practitioner to do what would assist that person to stay in the intention.
Yes.
And so it's a reflection of what we're talking about. That's already the choice to mm-hmm. be where the heart is.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So instead of practicing overcoming the self-hate or saying, I don't want to do this, there's a recording that says, this is where I want the attention to be. Mm-hmm. And so when the day dawns and the recording has been listened to, when the resistance comes up, because there's a training around the intention of where the intention needs to be, that's what shows up,
yeah.
That's available. And that's the miracle of the practice of doing the practice of cultivating that, where do I want my attention?
Yeah.
And doing all the things about where I want my attention.
Yeah.
And so when resistance arises, that's what shows up. And then there's the willingness to be present with the structure, and magic happens in terms of what shows up and what you're going to work with, what behaviors. And the marvelous thing about doing whatever came up with that recording will be you don't know how it actually changes anything.
Exactly.
Because all we're training to do is not go with egocentric karma conditioning self-hate and go with lightness, presence, and whatever else that represents. And so the meta process is always happening in following the structures.
Yeah. It's just hearing the process is the outcome.
The process is the outcome.
It's not like I made this thing, then the conversation is going to go better next time.
Yes.
It doesn't even matter. As you said, just being willing to talk about that resistance, being willing to make the recording.
Willing to smile.
Being willing to smile. All those things, I'm in the process.
That's right.
You know, speaking about it now is being in that process of being with the heart.
Yes. Exactly so. And the process is the outcome, to me, is an interesting place to watch, because we have what we do or how we want to talk about it, but we don't know how the transformation is happening. The outcome is the transformation. The content of the transformation is unpredictable, which is what makes it all so fun.
It is. It is really fun. And I'm really glad I'm not in charge of that.
Yeah, because then it would just get folded back into that process of... That's why it's so serious and so, if I do this, I have to get this. So there's a pressure to get this. And oftentimes doing this doesn't get this. And that's a repeated experience.
Yeah.
No wonder we feel it's like, why bother?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But if we let go of the outcome and go, okay, well, whatever happens, happens, then I'm doing this for doing this. And then I get to find out how that worked out in some other weird, chaotic, unexpected, fun way.
Yeah. It's training in lightness, doing a little jig.
Yeah.
And that's what's being given to us.
Yes, and lightness shows up in so many ways that is not related to a jig.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah. But that attitude of just living, of being with, you know, it's just all given to us.
It's all given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. Thank you. Andrea?
So a couple things kept come up. One is that I got some guidance about instead of just not believing the lie, basically saying that I am looking at what's actually true.
Yes, very important, along the same themes we've been looking at.
Yeah, so that's helpful. So what conditioning did last night was it pulled out what seems to be true, which is that... Yeah, which is that life is short and I'm going to die. And use that against me.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't really say, well, that's not true. So I kind of got stuck, and the only thing I could think of was just to not focus my attention on that.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good strategy. Let me ask you a question. What did you, how did it use it against you?
Just saying, I was just reflecting. So what happens sometimes is that I remember something in the past, like remembering this happened. I was thinking about a conversation with Sherry that I had, 15 years ago. And it brought that up to torture me and say, oh, you remember that, that seemed like yesterday, and 15 years is, boy, that just went like that, and 15 more years will be,
Yes. You bring a very important point, and it's important that when we pay attention, we know this, right? So we are going to die. It is true. Is life short? Well, it depends on what that means. Right? Am I going to die tomorrow? I don't know. But I could. Which means that the only moment I have is now.
Which is what I said to conditioning. I said, well, I could die at any minute.
Right. But it's so to me, it will be interesting for you to look to see what the lie is.
Mm.
Right? Because the lie is turning the attention onto and telling you the story of what happened 15 years ago that seemed, so what you're letting go of, the truth is you're here now. A conversation about whether you're going to die soon or not, or how the passage of time has happened, is the lie, because it's not happening now. Right? And so part of what we want to watch out for is how conditioning uses the practice tool of lie versus truth against you, as you said.
Yes.
But the way it's using it is, we have to actually notice how it's using it. Because what we don't drop is, it's true. I'm going to die. Every one of us is. And life is short. Because this moment is all we've got. Now, if my attention is on that, there's no fear, there's no anything. But if I'm in a story about how that is true, then it's the story that's the lie that I have to let go of.
Okay. That's interesting to see, because that's the process, is it will take memories and poison them and pollute them. So it's not that I don't want to remember anything, because that story will always come up.
Yes, and turning the attention from it is a useful strategy, but if you haven't actually... set the lie at rest, which is the right lie at rest, we're going to be trying to keep turning our attention from something, but not actually doing the practices being pointed to, which is pay attention to what the truth is.
Right, and it also doesn't allow me to have a good memory of a guidance that I got from Sherry. It pollutes that.
Yeah.
It takes that and uses that against me.
Right, which is why we don't want to go anywhere in memory, past, present, or in past or future. We want memory of the present too, because it's a memory.
Right.
That's the lie. Mm-hmm. To recognize the illusion in conditioning. Anything in conditioning.
Well, is memory conditioning? I guess.
Well, so how do you know that you are looking at a memory without being told that you're looking at a memory?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it is a memory. I mean, there is, I don't know this, it's my experience and something for you to look at, but we're present and something drops in, we're present to what's dropping in. Mm-hmm. So it's as real in the moment as my feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different experience from the attention wandering to a story in the conditioned mind that's talking to me about what happened 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And calibrating the difference between the two is an interesting process.
Yeah, well, I think what happened was it dropped in, and then conditioning took that and then made a story.
Exactly. Beautiful. That's a very good thing to see.
Yeah. So that's one thing. The other thing.
Oh, wow.
The other thing is I saw some karma around relationships.
Karma around relationships. We've got a lot of that, don't we?
Yeah. So what what the crux seemed to be is that I get a lot of self-hate, a lot of projection about this particular person, and then I try to avoid this person, and then when I'm actually kind of forced to be in a situation where this person is, and maybe even, you know, at a table with her or whatever, then I feel awkward, self-conscious, and I don't know what to say, which is a big thing because I've labeled myself as shy and introverted, so I don't know what to say, so I'm just tongue-tied. And here I am, you know, supposed to be friendly and, you know, try to kind of get past this karma, and I'm like, I don't know what to say to her. And she's not particularly, she's very standoffish, she's not, you know, like she doesn't monopolize the conversation necessarily, and so that's what I saw.
Did you do the other part of the exercise of having a conversation with a mentor about it?
Yeah, I did. I feel like I didn't do it right.
Well, my encouragement would be to just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Truly get to the bottom of the awkwardness, mm-hmm. and then see what arises mm-hmm. in terms of how she would be assisted in that situation.
How the person who's feeling the awkwardness
would
be assisted.
Yeah, because it's all about how she shows up and what's going on for her, and she needs to be able to be assisted with that, and then it's whether or not she wants to be friendly with the other person.
Well, one thing I did see with that was the mentor did say compassion came up and said compassion not towards that person but towards the person who's feeling awkward.
Yes. Yeah. And if there's an intuition that it wasn't complete.
Yeah.
And so to do the exercise again.
Right.
Not conditioning what happens to is okay, well, it didn't feel right, so I'm not going to do it. Right. But really do the opposite, which is to keep exploring until you get to a place of, wow, that feels like a lock.
Yeah, this is helpful because I've gotten guidance on this particular relationship before, and it looks like it's maybe an ongoing, you know, 6 month
yeah.
course or something.
That's right, and we want to get to the end before we explore the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, because right now, you know, it feels like the story I'm hearing, or I don't know if the story or the sense or whatever, is just that. I've seen this, I've seen the awkwardness, I've kind of seen the body sensations, which is the guidance I got, which was to explore the body sensations I have when I'm with this person. And so I've seen this, but I feel like there's, yeah, I don't know, more, I don't know, either from talking, when I talk to her, or more that I could be doing for myself.
Well, or neither. Mm-hmm. Which is what the recording with the mentor, especially the two-handed recording, will assist you to do, is mm-hmm. to get to the energy for her, the person mm-hmm. in the situation. It's not about the relationship.
Right.
It's not about that person. It's not about fixing it or changing it, right. but just simply dealing with the suffering that's going on there.
Exactly, because what I want is, it's not about, as you said, about being friends with her or whatever. It's more like I want... Instead of suffering coming up, I want freedom.
Yes.
That's
and that's always here, right?
Yeah.
On the whole basis of the sutra. Mm-hmm. How does the mind stuff get understood here?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, I am getting back.
Just listening to everything, you know, I had something come up that said, should I share? And I looked at conditioning,
yeah.
and I went, oh my God, I've never really seen it that way before. Yeah. Looking to that external source, even though it's not necessarily, well, it's external, but
yeah,
it certainly isn't.
The fantasies of authority. How
yeah, the fantasies of authority.
Okay.
You know, give me exactly, yeah, where it's here.
Yeah.
But just to see it so clearly and see how that has played out so many places in my life, looking to external authorities to tell me what to do, to give me the okay or to give me the feeling of like, yeah, that's the right decision, that's the right path, that's the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fascinating.
Yeah,
just
being in action.
Just sitting here.
Paying attention
yeah.
to how that happens and how often we're not aware that it's happening.
Right. And it gives me a place to start practicing.
Yes.
And then the other thing was in meditation, seeing how I was jumping ahead to the future, no, seeing how conditioning was jumping ahead to the future to do all these really fun things when I left. Oh, you're going to go back and you're going to do this and that'll be really exciting and this. And then when I got into the group and I heard, you know, well, there's also this other part going back, mm-hmm. and really seeing that there's no difference between the suffering that can be caused going into the past, which I've done a lot of around relationship, you know, well, all this, you know, crappy stuff happened back then, mm-hmm. As opposed to what's going on right now, but it's the same as jumping ahead and going, oh, I can't wait to go do that. And it's like, all right, I'm breathing. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sitting here. All right.
Well, it is coming to the first process you brought up, which is confronting something other than here.
Right.
Whether it's talking about the past or talking about the future or talking about what you should or shouldn't do,
yeah.
it's all the same system that the attention goes to.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh my gosh.
So that brought up the other thing that I saw, which was last night, you know, I had a story come in after I finished presenting what the assignment was that said, you don't need to do this. You know, you presented. And I went, is that so?
Uh-huh.
I think I really want to do it, you know? And it was so fun to not slough, to not coast. Mm-hmm. And I've only just started to see that little ego identity where I work really hard and I do some really fun stuff and I like it. And then I go, and then I hear a voice come in going, okay, you can just come back to me now.
Yeah.
You can come back to unconsciousness and you can come back to conditioning and I'll regale you stories. So,
I think what Trump was talking about, that mm-hmm. karma around relaxation, which in ego's terms, relaxation is come back to me and
yeah.
stop paying attention.
Yeah, it's gotten really polluted in that sense.
Yes.
Because I think relaxation is something completely different. I think of it more as like being completely present without that disturbed consciousness.
Undisturbed consciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I am totally relaxed and I'm totally ready to do anything.
Exactly. That's beautifully stated. Relaxation is undisturbed consciousness. The way we talked about it in group a couple of days ago is it expanded awareness.
Sure.
It's not listening to conditioning mind.
That
makes us
relax.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Becca.
So I'll try to
get everyone.
Yeah. So I had a big practice last night.
Oh, good.
It was really good. And the thing I wanted to, you said something to, I think it was in June's conversation, was how it's so helpful to see the progression and the structure of how it gets constructed. Mm-hmm. And the experience I had with a big piece of karma last night was that I had a real sort of turn a corner, and in hindsight could see, and then all morning I've been watching how, you know, now, well, it's not the first time I've seen it, but it was a big seeing of it. It was so much easier to get out of the conversation and turn the attention, having had that in hindsight.
Yes.
And so, oh boy, I had this drop in over breakfast. 2016 really is the year of getting out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And let me see if I'm with you. So the process of watching the karma create the identity or the story or the
it's
important to be in the process and see it step by step, because you reach a point at which you can look back and see how the whole thing is constructed.
Yes, and I would add that it was after having turned that corner that it became a lot clearer.
Right. And so it is easier to get out of it after you've turned the corner,
but
when it starts to reconstruct again.
Exactly. But every step along the way was critical, crucial, no mistake, none of that, right?
We always say that, right?
Exactly.
Every experience is what we have to experience before we have the next experience.
Yes. And the other crucial piece that I think feels relevant to this is that, and I think it was just in the Friday night group, but correct me if I'm wrong, but Sherry talked about that you gotta just get to a point of do your worst. Just do it. Bring it. Just do your worst. I'm ready for it. And that's the point I got to about the whole guilt, judging, convicted karma, right? It's always felt like I was dragged into court to be judged by the magistrate. Well, this time, I just crossed the line, and it was like, I brought myself into the damn court. I'm sorry. It's like, okay, give it to me. Judge me. I want to hear. What am I guilty of? Give it to me all. And I've never believed there's been a shadow, or let me just say, it's not doubt, but I have never experienced what Sherry described as there's nothing there, it's got nothing. Because it always kind of felt like it does have nothing, you know? But swear to goodness, it had nothing, you know? I mean, I chopped an onion when there was already too much art chopped. I mean, that was it. Well, and you know, and things like that, like, oh, okay. You know, and it was, I finally got where I could laugh at it. And it wasn't what I've tried to laugh at it before when it was like, you know. it was a genuine, this is ridiculous laugh, you know?
Yes, because I project what happens to us as we practice with it is truly a process of believing it less and less. Till we truly don't believe it anymore.
Exactly.
And it's the place where we truly don't believe it anymore that the genuine absurdity of it arises.
Yes.
But in the process of what we're talking with Scott, you have to start to laugh at it even when you don't believe it.
Exactly.
As the training to believe it less and less.
Yeah.
So you can laugh at it when you stop believing it.
Exactly. That's the point that I thought was so crucial. And it felt like the mentor, everything strong, good, willing, loving was there to, I mean, just arose, like there was a big opening for that to have happen. And even the, even when it sort of dug into the past of the things, you know, when I was saying, come on, give it to me, you know, it was, you broke your son's heart when you got a divorce. And it felt like that could have had a bit of a charge, right? But then it felt like the mentor was just there to say, you know what? I just talked to him last week. His heart is intact.
Yeah.
He's fine.
It
was the truth and the lie. It was like in this moment, what was
truth?
Right. And so therefore, that accusation, that judgment had nowhere to land.
Yes. Yes.
And that was the thing. And it was just such an appreciation for every step along the way. And my last point is, I saw a profound sense that moment of true laughter of the whole, that it could not have been rushed, it could not have been saved.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that all of those attempts at doing it to my best of my ability were either rushing or faking it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, because that would just be going back to an assessment or a narrative of it.
Yeah.
Right? In this moment, this is what is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly an appreciation of what's here is all that is here.
Yeah.
Anything else that's brought in is conditioned.
Yeah.
And karmic.
Yeah.
Right? In the moment where I'm looking at it and I don't feel like I can laugh and I'm laughing half-heartedly is what is here in the moment.
Yeah.
What we get from an experience like that is truly the appreciation of being in the moment.
Yes.
Because in the moment, nothing is wrong.
Exactly.
We are having the experience we're having.
Yes. It's not like that moment was better than that moment.
And it's only better in one place.
It's right. That's the slide back to condition.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. And so to summarize the process that you are articulating for us is we have to practice. We have to practice with whatever is available to practice in the moment. Without that place of like our hair's on fire, but not knowing that we can, but knowing that we can't control the outcome in every moment.
Yeah, with the faith, I would add, with the faith that nothing is ever wasted.
With the faith that nothing is ever wasted, which comes from experience.
Yes.
Right? That you have an experience like that, which is what builds faith,
right.
An ever-expanding faith to constant devotion. That your experience of how practice works and how transformation works allows us to keep practicing.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have time for one more. Sequoia.
Well, I just I just want to hold hands again.
Hallelujah. Sunday morning Sabbath tradition, even though we're in a Buddhist hall.
I love it. And, yeah. And so, you know, dropping the conversation is what's up. And a couple things. First, I found that dancing for a minute, walking around for a minute, dancing for a minute, walking around for a minute is a great movement of energy. And that whole time just, you know, affirming what's so about life. Mm-hmm. And it's just great. And I've had this week some just amazing experiences of dropping the conversation and like, oh my God, oh my God, you know, just seeing what's possible, you know, the relaxation, that like, oh my God, you know, just nothing to do except right, what's right here in front of, you know. And I got guidance that it was about dropping the conversation. And when I asked what, so when I find myself in the conversation, you know,
what do I do?
So here's the guidance: don't ever get in the conversation. So once you're in it, yeah, you know, that's just, you know. So okay, so I just wanted to say that out loud. And because, of course, the conversation took it to, like, you know.
How do I not get into the conversation?
But, you know, and, you know, and if I do, is it, you know, am I wrong? You know, because I'm not trying hard enough, no, but, you know.
I'm going to butcher the koan, but it is, what is the sound of one hand clapping?
Yeah, yeah.
Or what was your face like before your,
yeah,
before your parents, whatever. Because the question is the koan, right? Don't get into the conversation. Well, how do I not get into the conversation? Yeah. If I'm in the conversation, what do I do about the conversation? Drop the conversation. I mean, the only way we can really drop the conversation is if we explore all of those different facets of how this deals with,
yeah,
the conversation.
Yeah.
And it's all about doing.
So that's what I wanted to say, thank you for the group, because that's where Rose this morning. Go ahead, that's the con.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's
that
not,
is the con.
You know? It is not the, yeah, this is how, this is what you do, and if you don't, you're a bad person, mm-hmm, you know?
Well, I think what you're pointing at is it's not a doing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what Tracy was talking about. It's,
yeah,
a being.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
so the being can't be done by anyone.
Yeah. The being can't become by anyone.
It's not. There, yeah, is no one.
Yeah.
And you can't do a no one. No one can do no one. Or whatever that. It becomes absurd. But it's the absurdity. It's what was, I think it was using this article. It's the absurdity of the question that delighted sense of, wow, only that which we are trying to transcend will ask the question.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And, yeah, in the moment of the laughter, the questioning process dissolves.
Dissolves, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Very good.
It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jen,
I just want to offer this quote that I recently heard that feels like it keeps coming up this morning. Something along the lines of, a deep awareness of our non-existence is a prerequisite to true joy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful?
A deep awareness of our non-existence is a prerequisite to true joy.
Yeah,
true joy.
Yeah.
Or joy is, or Sherry's quote, joy is what's there when you stop doing everything
else. Exactly, it just is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, I do have one more minute. Anyone else? Monica?
I just want to say thank you, and it's just, these weekends are so amazing and so much happens, and everybody's experience has been really helpful for me this weekend, and I'm just really grateful.
Good gusher. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, and see you soon.